This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. If you would like to contact me, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write my mailing address and my website address down at the close of the program. Again, the website does have a copy of this program on it. You can re-listen to it there. You can download it to your own computer from there. In addition, there's a weekly meditation on my website that you might find helpful. And if you'd like to be placed on the email subscription list for that meditation, just contact me and I'll add you to the email subscription list. And if you would like to be getting the monthly magazine, Grace and Truth, that I publish those meditations in from time to time, I'll need your name and address so I can send it on to them. So again, if you want my mailing address or website address, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down. Now, last time we were looking at the first part of Luke chapter 13, and we looked at this little phrase, "I tell you no, but except ye repent, you will all likewise perish." And what the Lord has emphasized to us here is that men may distinguish between great sins and small sins, and it may be true that when a calamity occurs, that we want to point the finger and say that that calamity occurred because of some great sin that the person, the area, or the country committed. But the Lord is saying, keep this personal. Sin is sin, and except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, just like the Galileans did, and just like those on whom the Tower of Siloam fell. You're no different than they. You may have different kinds of sins, but you're sinners. And the real sin that he was dealing with at this time was the sin of rejecting the signs and the wonders and the fulfillment of prophecy that they should have understood. Because he's speaking directly to religious leaders when he says this, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." But I like to take that personally. And again, I would emphasize, if you're listening to my voice, that you need to take that personally, because as a sinner, as one who perhaps would argue with God as to whether you can know for sure you're saved, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, because true faith is depending on the promises of God. And one of the promises of God is found in 1 John 5 and verse 13, "These things I have written unto you that believe, that ye may know that you have eternal life." The Son of Man, again, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost? Are you a sinner? If you have never acknowledged that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, then the message is personal. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And then we spent just a little time on what it meant to perish, because perishing is not just losing our physical lives. It's losing our relationship with the Lord completely and spending it in a place of torment eternally, because we never had our sins put away by trusting in the Lord Jesus. And now today we're going to come to a short passage that follows. It starts at Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. "And he also spake this parable: A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?'" I think the old King James says, "Why cumbereth it the ground?" The new King James, "Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" And I've always said that what he's saying is, this thing is just taking up space on planet Earth. Let's get rid of it so that that space can be used in a more profitable way. "But he answered and said to him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down.'" And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. I believe when we look at the fig tree, we have prophetic teaching associated with it. I think the fig tree usually represents Israel as a nation. And I think that this statement, again, goes back to the scribes and the Pharisees who are leading the nation astray. If you were to go to Isaiah chapter 1, you would find out that The Lord says, I have raised up children, and they have rebelled against me. And the children of Israel were a rebellious people. They had all of the privileges of the Old Testament prophets. They had all the privileges of the Old Testament history of coming out of Egypt, being a redeemed people, coming out of Egypt, crossing the wilderness into the promised land. They knew their traditions. They knew that they were special as far as God was concerned. And yet, when they had opportunity, they usually preferred to worship the heathen gods of the land rather than the God who had saved them and redeemed them and preserved them through the wilderness. The heathen gods of the land were really gods that appealed more to the flesh. In many cases, immorality was associated with the worship of the gods of the land. And even if they were worshiping on the clean side of those gods, it was a self-made man religion that exalted man. Today, we have many religions like it in the world. Wicca is one of them. And Wicca, which is a type of clean witchcraft, is one of the religions that looks at Mother Earth as sacred and does try to preserve the environment. And they do things that some would argue with are just costly, but in their mind, they do things that are good, but they worship the wrong God. Earth is not our God. The sun and the stars are not our God. God created those things to speak to us, and there are some people who look at the stars like they did in Babylon of old when they built the Tower of Babel. They look at the stars, and they want to worship them. They build a tower that will approach God and allow them to study the stars and worship the stars. And other people look at the stars and they're like David, and they say, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And so these people generally found it easier to worship the gods of the land. That's why they were to eliminate the people of the land who had become immoral and who had turned away from God, who had had every opportunity themselves to worship God as he ought to have been worshipped. And they were to destroy those people so that they would not be tempted to worship their gods, but they were tempted to worship their gods. And so ultimately they're taken into captivity into Babylon. Or first the northern term, 10 tribes go into Assyria, and then they are taken, Syria is taken captive by Babylon, and Judah, the southern two tribes are taken captive into Babylon, and then we know that there was a restoration under Ezra and Nehemiah's day, but never a complete restoration where the children of Israel were back in the kingdom the same way they were when David and Solomon reigned. And so it turns out that as we look at this nation, now God has come and sent his son. They have witnessed his baptism. They have heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Many of them have eaten miraculously from bread that he provided, just as the children of Israel ate of manna in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the multitudes were fed from a few loaves and a few fishes, and they had much left over, and it happened twice. They've fed on the manna. They've seen the miracles, and yet they want to eliminate the Lord because he is, as far as they're concerned, the religious leaders are concerned, they consider him to be an imposter. They consider him to be competition with regard to their own prestige with the people. And so as a nation, they are not responding to the gentle work of the Lord Jesus in trying to bring forth fruit from this fig tree called Israel. And so as we look at the passage, he comes seeking fruit on Israel and he finds none. The Lord has come and he's presented himself to the people and they are not responding. And so he says to the keeper of the vineyard, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But the husbandman. And I would take it that that might be a picture of the Holy Spirit says, give it another chance. Surely they will respond. Surely they will be made to see that what they're doing is wrong. Give it another year. And so the keeper of the vineyard carefully tends that fig tree. But ultimately, that fig tree was cut down. Ultimately, they crucified the Lord. Ultimately, there was no fruit to be found on the fig tree, and they were sent into all the nations. Titus, the Roman general, came into Jerusalem in 70 AD and completely destroyed it. And the people to this day are in dispersion. The nation was cut down. It was just taking up space. Now we know that there's a coming day when the Lord is going to reestablish them as a nation. He's going to establish his kingdom with them, and they are going to become a people that glorify the Lord. But as of yet, that has not happened. The Lord has not established his kingdom with them. He hasn't come on the white horse and saved them from their enemies yet. But what I find interesting is that while we can apply this to the nation of Israel, we can apply this to each one of us individually. We hear the word of God. We have Bibles. We are told that we need to be saved, and the Lord is looking for the fruit that comes with believing. He's looking for us to respond to, as we saw in the previous section, to repent. He's asking for us to love him and not argue with him. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to believe in him, and he gives us every opportunity to do so. And I believe that particularly in the United States, where we have the amount of preaching of the gospel that we have, we are without excuse, and he's given us, so to speak, another year, and he's tending us, and he's asking us if we can possibly see our way clear to believe in him. But we don't believe in him. And so as we look at what's happening in the world today, we can see that it could possibly be said of an individual that's listening to me today, cut it down. Why does it take up space? Why cumbereth it the ground? Friend, if you knew that you only had 3 more years, what would you do with the Lord Jesus tonight? But you may not have 3 years. It may be less than that. What if tonight the Lord said, cut them down? They're just taking up space. Would you be ready? You'd only be ready if you had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you had put your faith in him and had repented and believe, because when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. Don't just take up space. Glorify God by trusting in his Son. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do ask for thy blessing upon the program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.